What is happening, everybody? Happy Monday to you, and welcome into 49ers Live. I'm Joe Finn. He's Ted Robinson. Ted, it feels a little bit like Groundhog Day. The 49ers now 0-6, a 26-24 loss to the Washington Redskins from the nation's capital in Week 6. Now, the fifth straight game, the 49ers have lost by 3 points or less. That's an NFL record. 49ers right now on the wrong side of history, Ted.
Yeah, this one, of course, came about in a different way. It was a little bit like the Rams game in that the first half wasn't very good. But there was a difference. There was a spark here, which was the quarterback change. There's no question about that. That got the 49ers into an offensive rhythm they hadn't had, except probably for the second half of the Rams game. This one, I really felt that the 49ers weren't going to win until about the last 5 minutes. And then I thought this was destiny. Especially when Pierre Garçon catches that tipped ball, second week in a row we saw that happen. And sadly, a flat-out missed officiating call. There's no other way to say it. And I just am stunned by the lack of level of officiating that we've seen firsthand in the first 6 weeks of the season. It's startling to me. I hope the league is as concerned as I am about it, because this is the NFL. The players, the coaches, and the fans deserve the best of everything, and that includes officiating. And for the second time in 6 games, a blown officiating call cost the 49ers a chance to win.
Correct.
My wording's very clear. Not a win, but cost them a chance to win, and that shouldn't happen.
And you never want to sound like sour grapes, but it's just the fact of the matter. I tweeted yesterday, tell me if you've heard this before, 49ers at the wrong end of a crucial pass interference call late in the game. Here's how it all went down. Some of the highlights from FedEx Field in Week 6. The Redskins got off to a really hot start and kind of forced Kyle Shanahan's hand into the quarterback change. This is the first drive of the game, a quick 75-yard drive. Far too easy for the Redskins. A 10-yard touchdown pass to Josh Doctson from Kirk Cousins. Now it's C.J. Beathard time. His first career completion goes for 13 yards to Garrett Celek. This is the next drive, and he gets things going. 30 yards downfield to his college teammate, George Kittle. Final play of the first half, the 49ers going for it on fourth and goal. Love rolling the dice. Carlos Hyde gets into the end zone for the third time this year. Here's Robbie Gould, the start of the third quarter from 52 yards out. He would miss one later, but this one was his 15th straight make to start the season. Now 17-10. Here's a huge play of the game, maybe the play of the game. It's Vernon Davis against his former team. His first catch of the game, he fumbles. Lots of confusion. All of a sudden, Jimmy Ward's running the other way. Is it a touchdown? Is he out of bounds? Was his elbow down? Ultimately, the review deems Jimmy Ward recovered a fumble, and he was down at the one, and it's Carlos Hyde flexing times two. Little Shawn Michaels, HBK, WWE style with the celebration. Here's Kirk Cousins' 7-yard touchdown run, and it looked over from this point. It's a 9-point game, but not to be denied was C.J. Beathard scrambling, rolling to his right, finds an open Aldrick Robinson, who hits the brakes. Let's the enemy fly by like Maverick, and the 49ers are in this game. Getting the ball back down two. It's Pierre Garçon for a quick 20-yard gain, pushed out of bounds. 49ers have no timeouts. And again, this you talked about this one. The tip pass, the concentration from Pierre Garçon makes the play for the second straight week. It took a review, but finally got the call right. And here's the crucial call right here, Ted. We got the replay coming. The intended receiver on a slant route, they call him for a pick and pass interference. Garçon, rightly so, inconsolable, trying to get an explanation from the officials. And you could tell, at the end of the game, everyone mystified how possibly Pierre Garçon could have been called for offensive pass interference. At the end of the day, though, it's 26-24 loss. There were some good things. C.J. Beathard certainly provided a spark. Kyle Shanahan, post-game, explained why he made the move to the rookie QB.
Just watching it, especially early, you know. I don't think we helped Ryan. I thought there was a lot of drops early, but CJ's had a good week of practice. He's put 2 good weeks together, and I had a feeling going in if it went like that, had to make the move, give us a chance to win. I thought he came in and competed. You know, by no means were things perfect, but the game's not too big for the guy. He comes in, doesn't hesitate. He's extremely tough. Came in there, gave us a little bit of spark, made a few off-schedule plays, which was nice. And the main thing is, you know, we'll watch the film. It wasn't perfect, but when you got a tough guy who hangs in there and competes, I think he'll learn from it too.
Ted, I know there's some plays you want to dive into, but first, just give me your initial takeaways from this one.
Well, the last play that you showed again, there is no explanation. The explanation is they blew it, and that's point blank, and I think the league has acknowledged that. They missed the call. That's a route combination that's run frequently. Pierre Garçon cannot pick when he's the target. He was the targeted receiver. He's not picking for Hyde coming out of the backfield. It was just and the difficulty in this is the NFL sends out videos every week to the teams, and it explains calls, it explains interpretations, it explains what the officials are being instructed to call, and this is all to help avoid this situation. Well, last week there was a huge video sent out to the teams about offensive pass interference and illegal contact downfield by the defense. So you get an idea that it was planted in the officials' minds that we're being more conscious of this. That's just a miss, point blank. And the unfortunate part for everybody is it was a game-altering call. Now, again, there's no way that you can guarantee that Robbie's going to make a 53 or 54-yard field goal, but you'd like to have him have the chance, have the players have the chance to win the game. That's simply 53 for Washington. It's simply late getting out on his coverage. He runs into Pierre Garçon. That's just an absolutely blown call, and there's just no way to say it. They're human beings. It happens. It's just incredibly frustrating when it happens at the end of a game, and it's happened twice now to the 49ers in 6 weeks.
And when you're a team desperate for a win,
yeah,
fighting tooth and nail, all these close losses back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back now, right? You need something to go your way, and when you have that kind of call and that kind of moment, it does make it difficult. Ted, let's get to your plays. We've got some film review. Our new toys here, checking out the Telestrator.
We'll see. Judge me on this, folks.
This is going to be good. Talking Solomon Thomas. He was the first 49ers defensive lineman to out-snap DeForest Buckner this season. You got a couple of plays highlighting his game where he had 9 tackles and a sack.
Yeah. So let's watch here. Now, this is Solomon Thomas. Now watch what he's going to do here as he is going to bust through a run play, end up here, and then trail the play out here in order to make a tackle. And this is the Solomon Thomas quickness that we've come to expect. See him get right by Lovell, the pulling guard, but Solomon picks himself off the turf, Joe, and ends up making, now that's a 4-yard gain, but it's the effort of Solomon Thomas and his explosiveness, even coming off the ground, that is what has made him so coveted by teams. Now, here's a second part. Now, watch Solomon Thomas here. He's going to be asked to do something completely different. I'm not sure how many times he was asked to do this at Stanford, where this is what's known as a zone blitz. He's not going to rush. He's going to be asked to drop back into coverage in a difficult matchup against Jordan Reed, who's an incredibly versatile tight end for Washington. So let's watch here. And you see how Solomon took a step in. Now is to come back. Now, this is a completed pass. There may be some thought Solomon needs to be quicker back to that, something he'll learn. You saw Earl Mitchell have to do this as well for the 49ers in a defensive scheme, which is called that zone blitz. But the ability of Solomon Thomas to get back that far 10 yards down the field against a Pro Bowl tight end, by the way, in Jordan Reed, is awfully impressive.
49ers missing Kyle Juszczyk in this one. This play illustrates just how much they did miss number 44. The running game struggled throughout. Carlos Hyde carried the ball 13 times for just 28 yards. He did have the 2 touchdowns. But they tried to fill the void semi-unsuccessfully, yeah, as you're about to illustrate.
Well, how important is Juszczyk, right? Here's George Kittle. George Kittle is being asked, in this case, to be the fullback and watch Ryan Kerrigan, who's an outstanding outside pass rusher and run defender for Washington. The play is going to be something that Juszczyk is asked to do a lot as a fullback, a lead block here for Carlos Hyde. Let's watch and see. How does George Kittle do against Kerrigan? Oops. And look at Kittle's reaction. Hand clap. He knew. He whiffed. And that's not – look, George Kittle's a rookie, and he's a tight end. He's not a fullback by trade. But that, to me, highlights – how important Kyle Juszczyk is to what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. So much of what the 49ers scheme and plan is based on Juszczyk's availability and his versatility, and he may not play for another week or two. And I'm saying that's so important to the 49er offense.
And here's our last play in terms of what Washington had an idea of what might be coming here on 3rd and 6, yeah, a throw that was well short of the first down marker.
Third down. Hoyer's top target, this is Hoyer still in the game, has been Trent Taylor. The problem now is that opponents know that. So there's Taylor, but watch Dunbar, the Washington receiver. Watch where he goes as this play rolls. He doesn't run with the outside receiver. He's sitting there on Trent Taylor. So the result, you have a completed pass, but right to the line of scrimmage, no gain. That's something I think that probably contributed to the eventual quarterback change. The understanding that Hoyer was locked in on Trent, that's where he was going. The defense knew it. As a result, you had, I think in the first half of the game, Joe, you saw 3 or 4 occasions where the very thing that a lot of people jumped on Blaine Gabbert for last year happened this year. You had third down passes that were well short of the line to gain, passes that had no chance to get a first down. And in this case, there's an example where you got a sense that Washington knew exactly what was coming.
C.J. Beathard, Kyle Shanahan's quote that he's used really since Beathard got here was, the game's not too big for him, right? There will be mistakes, but it looks like he belongs. We saw that yesterday, 245 yards, the big touchdown on the run, finding Aldrick Robinson downfield. The interception was one of the last plays of the game following the crucial pass interference call. So you can, I think, take that with a little bit of a grain of salt as the game's likely over at that point anyways. But what do we make of the rookie quarterback? Kyle Shanahan said, I've seen enough. He's our starter going forward. I'm going with the rookie. And so what did you see yesterday, and what do we make of the new era, the Beathard era, if you will?
Yeah, and Joe, I think that's a great takeaway from this game because it appears this is where the 49ers are going in week six. It is probably sooner than most of us thought this might happen. So two things. The big picture takeaway to me, Kyle Shanahan has shown us one thing time and time again. He is decisive. Kyle Shanahan knows what he wants, and when he decides what he wants, he's very fearless about making that move. And so just look what happened in the last 72 hours. Navarro Bowman, Reuben Foster doesn't play, and then the quarterback switch in the first half of week six. I think that's a very clear point again that if Kyle Shanahan is your leader, which he is for the 49er football face going forward, that's what you want with a leader, is decisiveness and the willingness to carry out your decisions. We'll see how they play out, but that's what Kyle has done. Now, the shorter picture to me, the play you showed, Joe, the touchdown pass to Aldrick Robinson late in the game, that to me was a standout play for Beathard because he didn't give up on the play. He stepped up, he moved toward the line of scrimmage, but he kept his eyes down the field, in this case, deep down the field, and ends up with it, and I believe this is not the play, but it's going to come up. That's the touchdown play that, to me, exhibited a lot of what you hope you see more of from C.J. Beathard. I believe this is the play here. And he's just short of the line, but he doesn't lose the field. And he sees a wide-open receiver for a touchdown.
Not only that, but he throws him away from the safety, right? Robinson's there sitting for it, but he throws him away from the safety. That defender's coming towards him. All in all, I think you've got to be impressed from Beathard. And I think what Shanahan said at best is he made a few plays off script. And you have to have a quarterback who can make plays that isn't necessarily the design of it, right? What's Russell Wilson so good at? I'm not saying C.J. Beathard's Russell Wilson, but so much of what makes him so special is that he has the ability to make those plays when things break down. I don't think that was the design, but all of a sudden it's a 45-yard touchdown, and your guys are still in the game with a chance to get a stop or get the onside kick.
And I think, Joe, as well, there's a bigger picture going forward here, which we've seen with the 49ers in the past. So just think about two prior situations where something like this has happened. In 2012, it's Alex Smith that has the job taken from him. And then in 2015, it was after week eight, or after eight games, when the quarterback change was made, Gabbert taking over for Kaepernick. Two polar examples of how that was handled. Alex Smith handled it beautifully all the way through the Super Bowl as the backup quarterback, as a team captain, by the way, and the backup quarterback who didn't lose the job. It was taken from him, and he handled it magnificently. In 2015, Gabbert takes over for Kaepernick, and Kaepernick walked out on the team. He just did, and had decided to have a surgery that was not essential, could have happened at the end of season. And so he handled it completely differently. And my point is, coaches know that. And there was thought process that went into those those quarterback decisions involving how is it going to handle? How is the locker room going to handle this? How does the demoted quarterback handle it? Smith handled it one way, Kaepernick handled it another way. So you know Kyle Shanahan had to be thinking about this very thing. How is Brian Hoyer going to handle this? How does the locker room handle it? And ultimately, it's what's best for the team. And we saw a clear accelerant that C.J. Beathard provided this offense that you have to hope continues going forward.
Yeah, I think for me, it's the guys in the locker room, they just want to win a game.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they all love Brian Hoyer, right? They want what's best for the team. I think they were impressed with what C.J. did yesterday, coming in, commanding the huddle, getting a couple of touchdowns, executing a two-minute drill in his second career drive. One thing I want to talk about offensively before we shift gears a little bit and talk about the defense, as there are some questions coming in about the 49ers defense. Drops continue to be an absolute thorn in the 49ers side. They had seven yesterday. There are 20 total on the season. That's easily the tops in the league. The next closest team is 16. And when you have quarterbacks who are struggling, or a rookie quarterback making his NFL debut, you've got to be able to hold on to the football. And that's George Kittle included. He had some big ones.
Drops clearly been there. And I think the receiving core, Joe, to me, reflects the way the quarterback position played. Hoyer had some moments where he was terrific, throws that were exceptional. And then he had probably just as many moments where you shook your head and you thought that Brian was lost out there. C.J. Beathard yesterday, quite frankly, had a couple of throws that could have well been picked. And Pierre Garçon bailed him out. That last throw in the last drive, that ball should have been intercepted by Washington, tipped in the air. Pierre makes a terrific catch of it. So it kind of works both ways. Marquise Goodwin yesterday made a sparkling catch. Aldrick Robinson made a good catch. We've had really good catches by the receiving core that it makes it more difficult to process the drops because the drops have been there. You can't erase them. But there have also been some catches, I think, where the quarterback has been helped. And I think C.J. yesterday, again, there were a couple of throws that didn't have the arm strength for whatever reason, whether it was pressure or just C.J., that didn't have the arm strength or at least the steam on the ball that needed to be thrown on that route. And in one case, I think a defensive back just flat didn't catch it for Washington. Another case, the ball's tipped in the air, and Pierre makes a great catch.
Question from Jared. Wants to know if Eric Reed will play more snaps in Week 7 as the 49ers come home from that three straight road games against the Cowboys. I would imagine so. He only played 10 snaps yesterday as they're easing him his way back in from that knee injury that he injured in Week 2. But here's the thing about Reed. He's got two guys in front of him, Jaquaski Tartt and Jimmy Ward, who are playing very well. And so I don't know if it's the continued use of maybe a bigger dime package with the limited resources you have at inside linebacker. But there will be personnel decisions that have to be made in terms of who's playing and where once Reed is, again, full go.
Yeah, and I think that's a nice problem to have. The 49ers hoped they were going to have this problem last year, and it's coming up this year, whereas that's a position they're deep at safety. It's why they were willing to let Antoine Bethea go in free agency because they felt good about the safety core. Now the other factor that comes into it, as you touched on, Joe, does Reuben Foster play? If Reuben Foster plays next week, you think that the inside linebacker core, and it was a little tough yesterday. Washington really picked the combination of Bowman being gone and Foster not playing. It had a look of last year to it, quite frankly. Washington ran, if you notice yesterday, just look at the numbers. Washington's wide receivers did not hurt the 49ers yesterday. It was Thompson out of the backfield.
Four catches, and 105 yards.
Right, and Vernon Davis. And those are the matchups that Washington felt strong against. Brock Coyle and Ray-Ray Armstrong ended up playing a lot of snaps yesterday. Ray-Ray did not have, in my view, didn't have the kind of game he'd had. There was way too many missed tackles, especially in the first half. Washington just took advantage. Again, running backs, we've seen this happen a lot. It was one of the issues with Bowman here the last couple of years that we all know. Running backs coming out, and can you cover them out of the backfield? Teams have done that to the 49ers quite a bit the last couple of years.
If we're looking at positives, the 49ers did play really well against the run. Chris Thompson, 16 carries for 33 yards. Samaje Perine, 9 carries, 23 yards. And so they were stout against the run. But I think for the 49ers, it really comes down to if you can't get a pass rush, right? If you're missing tackles and you're not getting a consistent pass rush, it's going to be really difficult to be consistent. And yesterday, Solomon Thomas, the only player to get a sack. Kirk Cousins wasn't pressured an awful lot.
Well, you had – and Armstead, now this is what we'll find out later today when Kyle Shanahan talks. Armstead goes out in the first half. His hand was bandaged on the sideline in the second half. Extent of the injury, we don't know yet. But Armstead's out, and Aaron Lynch didn't play much. And then when he did start to get in the second half, he goes out with an injury. So you really are short – on pass rush. Solomon ends up playing the most snaps, by the way, of any D lineman yesterday. But there's no question about that, Joe. That's an area that, I mean, as frustrating as last week's game in Indianapolis was, Aaron Lynch had a couple of penalties that really hurt. But the 49ers feel that Aaron Lynch gives them right now the best pass rush down in, down out of anybody on the team. Doomerville can do it in spots. Lynch is the guy that, you know, has that highest upside, so you stick with him, but he goes out yesterday with an injury. The other note about the run game, and I looked this up last week, and it's not surprising, but coming into this week's play in the NFL, 84% of the games had been won by the team that ran the ball more times, not just more yards. Everybody looks at yards, but rush attempts. Now, I'm sure that the vast majority of those rush attempts equal more rush yards. That's common sense. But to me, it also indicates a dedication to the run. So look at yesterday. Washington 33 runs, the 49ers 20. That's a two-point game, okay? Now, Washington had a lead. They were 17-0, we know that. But still, 33 runs to 20. The 49ers never got a run game established at all yesterday. Credit Washington's defense. We know what Jim Tomsula can do with a defensive front. But also, I wonder how much the loss of Juszczyk impacted the inability to get a run rhythm going.
And yeah, that's been the case for the last couple of weeks, Indianapolis and Arizona included. As we turn the page now, looking ahead to Dallas, it's Dwight Clark Day. It's a really special day here. Every fan, we got the giveaway here. I didn't forget it this time, which is really exciting. Pat myself on the back for that. But every fan who's going to be at Levi's Stadium on Saturday, or Sunday, sorry, in Week 7 against Cowboys, for Dwight's Day, check that out. Presented by Levi's. That's just a good-looking shirt right there, Ted. That's wear that.
Well, it's great. I mean, look, it's a magnificent moment, and I think the point of the day, Joe, is that Dwight has been such a beloved 49er as a player in the front office and now back with the team in the role that he's been in for the last probably 7 or 8 years, a beloved guy. At least 35, I'm not sure what the exact count is as of today, but at least 35 teammates from the first Super Bowl team are coming back. Everson Walls will be here, the guy that Dwight made the leaping catch over. Vin Scully called that game on television. It was the last football game that Vin Scully ever called, and I know Vin's going to have a small part in this celebration at 89 years of age on Sunday as well, which is, it just gives you an idea of the love that is there for Dwight Clark. So I do hope that the fans who come, and look, I understand, we're not fools. There's going to be a lot of Dallas fans in the stands here on Sunday, and the Dallas fans don't have the memory of this play that 49er fans do. But I hope that everyone who does have that great memory comes out and shows Dwight the love that the people who know him, the people who played with him, played around him, teammates from other 49er teams will be here as well. They're going to show that love for Dwight.
Come watch your 49ers. It's C.J. Beathard's first career start, and then also for Dwight's day. It's really going to be a special day here at Levi's Stadium. Joe Montana will be speaking at halftime. Again, the faces of the franchise, past and present, will be out in full force. On the football field, what's your key to the game? Dak Prescott and company coming to town. Ezekiel Elliott will be out serving his suspension as it just begins.
As of today. I won't count on that till Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. What do you want to see out of this team? Apart from the obvious of getting the first win of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, this is going to be a game, and I'm going to sit here and assume as I answer that question to Joe that Elliott is going to play because the lawyers are involved, and lawyers always find ways to get things delayed and stalled. And so if there's another stay on this appeal or stay of the suspension and Elliott is able to play, look, you're talking about the best offensive line in the NFL right now. The Dallas Cowboys have that. We know that. We saw it here last year. And if Elliott's in the game, you know that's what's going to happen. In an era, by the way, when the one running back is really fading in the NFL, Dallas is one of the exceptions. They are a one running back dominant team. It carried them to great heights last year. They're frustrated because they've lost back-to-back home games in frustrating fashion to the Rams and to the Packers. And now they have a bye week. So it's a second straight week for the 49ers playing an opponent coming off a bye week. All of that stacks the cards up against you. All you can hope from the 49ers standpoint, and we'll learn more about health when Kyle speaks later today, is that there's enough in the tank after 3 straight weeks on the road and some long travel that you have enough to play against this team. Because, Dallas is way better than the record. We know that. And you know that they're going to be angry. And they're going to have a little freshness in their legs.
Yeah, I think when you come home after 3 straight games on the road, there's a number of things you can point to, right? It's third down success. It's establishing a running game, all these things we've talked about. But for me, you cannot continue to put yourself in an early deficit. You did it in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. You did it last week against Washington. This team, when you're putting C.J. Beathard in the game at 17-0, you just can't get there. So you come home and you just hope that you can start hot out the gates, right? Pretend you're down 10-0 to open the game, whatever you have to do, but you can't allow a touchdown on the first drive. You can't go 3 and out in your first offensive series. Find a way to get the first points on the board, hopefully a touchdown, and be able to build on that and start playing with the lead so then you can establish the running game so you don't feel like you're playing catch-up.
Well, that's right, Joe, and that's a great point because the other thing that does is allow the 49er fans to make the home field presence strong because there are, look, this is truth, there are going to be a ton of Dallas Cowboy fans in the stands here on Sunday. It happens everywhere. It happened last year. And by the way, when the 49ers played in Dallas to start the 2014 season, it was the reverse. The 49ers were riding high, and the whole lower bowl in the Cowboys Stadium were 49er fans. So this is not a complaint. It's just a fact. But you want to neutralize that Dallas aura. Same thing happened here last year when the Patriots came. Remember how strong the Patriot contingent was here at Levi's, right? And the 49ers played pretty well that day and stayed in the game long enough to allow the home fans to try to establish that home field presence. That's what that quick start would mean on Sunday.
Yeah, it was 14-0 start last year against these same Cowboys. So hopefully looking for that first win of the year on Dwight's Day. It's going to be a special day at Levi's Stadium. 1 p.m. kick. Come out. Get your shirt presented by Levi's. It's going to be a fantastic day. Again, all the legends will be out in full force. For Ted Robinson, I'm Joe Fan. Enjoy your week. We'll see you Sunday right here at Levi's Stadium. Until next Monday on 49ers Live.